We are not static beings. We are designed to grow, even in the dead of winter. God wants us to grow in a relationship with Him, but He also wants us to grow our own branches so that we can bear amazingly tasty spiritual fruit. So take the first step because it will change everything. That's today on the podcast. Hey, it's Marisa from the Tower Hill production team. Thank you so much for listening in to our Tower Hill podcast. Whenever or wherever you're listening, we hope this podcast blesses you, and we hope that you feel free to share it with someone that you know so that they'll feel blessed too. What if your discontentment in life has a spiritual cause? What if God wants this year to be the year that you live out your purpose and you live with joy like never before? We think there are five ways God grows our faith, and this week Pastor Jason talks about taking the first step. Let's check it out right now.
Five things God uses to grow your faith. This is actually a sermon series that we did a couple of years ago as a way of helping people understand how God grows your faith so that if you can identify those things that God uses to grow your faith, you could be proactive about growing your faith. Originally, it was Andy Stanley's series from North Point. This is a whole new set of messages, but I wanted to bring back the idea of the five things because I think it's really crucial. And if you're anything like me, listen, it was a couple years ago. I remember maybe three out of five, two out of, maybe one of them. You know, so we're going to just hit these again because I think it's important as we start this new year to hit these again. Speaking of new year, how are the resolutions going? All right. Got your yoga pants, your new shoes, and then there's the ladies. That was ready to go, ready to get after those. Now, resolutions are awesome. I actually like New Year's resolutions, believe it or not. No, people don't like them because, well, they don't work or anything. What I love is the process of self-reflection. I like kind of seeing where I am, taking stock of where I am, and then where I hope to go in the new year. Again, it's sort of like it's a new start, a new set of goals, a new set of things to chase after. But it's like the husband and wife who decide that they're going to lose weight. And the husband comes home one morning with a box of donuts. She's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? We're supposed to lose weight." He says, "It was God's will." What do you mean it was God's will? How do you know it was God's will? Well, I was driving by the donut shop. It's always crowded. And there was a parking space right in front. She's like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "Yeah, it only took me 15 times around the block. I found the parking space." Resolutions are tough. And part of it is we have all these different areas of our life. And we think, okay, I don't like how I'm doing there. Maybe kind of spiritually, physically, professionally, emotionally. We're kind of taking stock of where we are. But I think the fundamental question that I always think of is, are my circumstances the problem? In other words, is it, you know, my dissatisfaction with work, my dissatisfaction with home or with relationships? Is that, or, you know, is my dissatisfaction with how my life is going because of my circumstance, or is it the me that I bring to my circumstance? Is the problem really a me problem? It's another way of asking, is all of this, or all my New Year's resolutions, is all of the things that I'm hoping to fix, do they have a spiritual problem? Is it a spiritual problem at its root? Or is it my circumstance? I think, you know, for so many times, you know, we think, I just can't move forward. And I think usually it's because it's something on the inside, not necessarily my circumstances. Because life's going to happen. There's always going to be something going on, always some kind of circumstance that we're trying to tough out or to get through. But what if it's about what's going on in the inside? Ever been on a long road trip? Like a long road trip? How many of you do that Disney World trip from here? Yeah, dude, we just went on a long road trip to Joplin, Missouri, where everybody goes on Christmas break. White sands. So we got it. It was a great trip, but it was long. I had a W in there because it was long. So we're going to Joplin. And, you know, if you've ever been on a long road trip, this was 1,200 miles, three kids. Once you get into like day two, hour 14, you start having all kinds of thoughts. Assuming you could hear yourself think. But you have these thoughts like, I don't know if I could do this. Like, I think we're going to need to stop for a while. Like, maybe we book another night at the hotel. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could. We have all these things that get in our way. We get tired. There's lots of obstacles, right? The weather might not cooperate. Like, you might not see the sun for an entire week. And then, or it might rain on your way. Or it might, I mean, listen, the roads from here to Missouri need a little work. There are all sorts of challenges to getting you where you want to go. But two things you absolutely need. If you're going to make a long road trip, you need directions. GPS is so great now, right? Remember you had to like unfold the map and then somehow use dark magic to fold it back in its original shape. But you have to have direction, and then you have to have some forward movement. You got to put the miles behind you. You got to go somewhere. That's the challenge of a long road trip. And since I had so much time to think during this road trip, I thought, you know what? This is like the journey of faith. This is like the journey of faith. So many of us, we don't feel like we've moved all that far in our faith in a long time. And sometimes it's because we lack direction. We don't know exactly where we're supposed to be going. Makes it hard to go anywhere if you have no directions to get there. Or it feels like we're just kind of stuck. We can't get any forward movement. Some kind of obstacles have happened in our life, and they have slowed us down. We decided to park for a while. We've stopped moving. And the thing is, you could challenge me on this. I encourage you to. You all have the magic of Google. Find any example in the Bible where God says, all right, listen, everyone, you're all doing great. Just stay exactly the same. Exactly. He never does that because you know, and you know this because it's a cliche. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. But it's so true. And it's true in your relationship with God. It's true with faith. You're not just staying the same. And so if we're going to make it on this road trip, we need to have faith. Faith moves forward. How many of you feel like, you might not be comfortable raising your hand, but you could just kind of nod along. You feel like your faith hasn't moved anywhere in a while. You feel like you perpetually get stuck. I think that's where these five things are going to help you as we go into 2019. This moving forward of faith, this getting past the obstacles, the listening, kind of downloading directions from God and moving forward, this is all what has been known in Christian terms as spiritual formation. How many of you have heard of spiritual formation? You've heard those words before. It's another way of saying discipleship, but I like it because I think it explains more of the process. Spiritual formation. Now, spiritual formation, you're probably going to have to clear that background so everyone can read it. Spiritual formation, Dallas Willard, who's a great theologian, unfortunately no longer living, but he describes it as this. Spiritual formation in the tradition of Jesus Christ is the process of transformation of the inmost dimension of the human being, the heart, which is the same as the spirit or will. It is being formed, really transformed, in such a way that its natural expression comes to be the deeds of Christ done in the power of Christ. In other words, what spiritual formation It's doing something on your heart. It's doing something from the inside out. It is a process by which you are becoming more and more like Jesus. That your natural at-rest default looks more and more like Jesus Christ. And this is a journey that's supposed to take from that moment that you come to faith to the rest of your life. And the tough thing is, a lot of us feel like we should be further. Listen, don't get down. Don't get stuck in the should be. We'd all have problems, right? Don't get stuck in the should be. I think everybody is exactly where they are, and that's okay. But I don't think God wants to keep you there. I think God wants to move you forward. Spiritual formation has kind of two parts to it. The first part we get, the second part I think we struggle with. The first part comes from John 15:5. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. This acknowledges that the first part of spiritual formation, you know, comes from outside of us. It comes from God empowering us, transforming us, doing something. I love that video with the potter. There's something really satisfying about watching somebody make pottery. But that God has been referred to as the potter. He is shaping us if we allow him to. He is the one who is shaping and transforming us. That's the first part, which is kind of passive. But there's a corollary to this that Dallas Willard points out, I think, beautifully. Said, if it's true, without me you could do nothing, then this is also true. If you do nothing, it will be without me. In other words, you have to do something with the transformation that God is doing in you. There are two parts to it. Both a passive and an active part. This is spiritual formation. It's another way of saying spiritual formation is the process of growing your faith. What is faith? Faith is confidence in God. If you were to write a word problem in school, right? Faith equals confidence in God. Complete trust in God. Let me ask you this question. What would it look like? What would your life look like if you had complete confidence in God? Think of all the areas of your life, professional, relational, emotional, spiritual, financial. Pick all those areas. What would it look like if you had complete confidence in God? Because I think if we were to like have somebody take a poll here at church and say, do you have complete confidence in God? You'd all give the church answer. Absolutely, yes, for sure, complete confidence in God. And then what happens is we go home back to all of our problems and we live as if there is no God. We're just totally torn up and anxious and all twisted around by our problems or by the issues. We act like we don't have any confidence in God. But what would your life look like if you did? Now, if you're new with us, you know, I always say this. I'm about to do something that's going to upset the introverts and folks who are new. I'm going to ask you to share this with the person next to you. I don't do this often, but I promise it'll be over soon. Turn to someone next to you and answer that question. What would your life look like if you had complete, 100%, all in confidence in God? Go. How many of you think that your life would be significantly better if you had complete confidence in God? How many of you think you might even experience more joy if you had complete confidence in God? Why? Because you're not all twisted up about your issues, about your baggage, about the things going on in your life. Yeah, you might be concerned about them. Yes, you might bring those to God in prayer, but they're not tearing you apart. Because you have complete confidence that God is working in them, through them. God's on the other side of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Yeah, it would change you. So I think for all of us, we can all take a step beginning today of having more and more confidence in God. And over the next few weeks, we're going to give you some steps, some ideas of how God may want you to move forward on that long journey. Maybe that getting that obstacle out of the way. Downloading the directions again so you can keep going on that long journey of faith. You know, what Christians believe is that humanity's problems all began when we decided that we had no confidence in God or we had confidence in ourselves instead. That's what Christians believe. And so it's about getting back to what God wants us to do in our journey of faith. If you take the Bible in kind of a macro level, the Old Testament boils down to kind of God saying, trust me. Right? A super oversimplification. But really, it's God saying, trust me, I am your God, listen to me, I'm going to show you the way. And then the whole New Testament is like, okay, well, you've blown it, so I'm going to re-invite you. I'm going to invite you to re-enter a relationship of trust. So follow me, trust me and follow me. This is spiritual formation, really, at its core. There's a key that I want to share with you today that comes from a healing story that Jesus healed somebody. And I think this actually points, kind of drills down deeper to an issue, the real issue of spiritual transformation, in that so much of us are resistant to it, or we think we're doing it, but we're really not. And we'll unpack that a little bit as we go. But this is Matthew chapter 8. There's a story of a centurion. Now, a centurion was a soldier in the Roman Empire who was not a God-fearer, so to speak, would not have any reason to believe in the Jewish God of Abraham, nor to listen to an itinerant rabbi with disciples. And yet, he had a crisis in his life. And isn't that just true? When the crisis comes, we're all ears. I don't know about that whole Jesus thing. I don't know about that. But I got nowhere else to go. And I heard you could work miracles for me. I heard you did for somebody else. I'm all ears. So here's the story of Jesus and the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Now, he says, Lord, that didn't mean he thought he was the Lord. It was a sign of respect. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? Now, what would your answer be? yeah, please, let's go. Thank you. Can we do it now? The centurion's response surprises Jesus. Yeah. Surprises Jesus. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was amazed. This is the only time this Greek verb, theumazo, means to be astonished at or to marvel at. It's the only time it's ever attributed to Jesus in all the New Testament. This seemed to be the one time where Jesus was genuinely astonished at somebody's response. So much so, he said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Why was that so astonishing to Jesus? Why was that such a big deal to him? I think because it drills down and gets to the root of how spiritual formation works. Spiritual formation begins and ends with your understanding of who Jesus is, not just what he can do for you. A lot of us, come to faith in Jesus because we think he's going to make our life better. And that's true, but to be perfectly honest, that's not why I want you to follow Jesus. That's a byproduct, possibly. I've also read stories of people who came to Jesus and their life became decidedly worse. Not spiritually, but in their circumstance. The reason I want you to follow Jesus is really what this story is getting at. You see, this centurion's faith wasn't just about believing that Jesus could heal or had the ability to heal. What he demonstrated was something deeper, was that he had the authority to heal. What did that mean? Well, this centurion knew what authority was, clearly. That's his whole understanding of Jesus. His faith isn't just in Jesus' ability to heal. His faith is in the one, God incarnate, the only one who has authority. And this idea of authority versus what can Jesus do for me versus authority is big. In fact, it comes up several times around healing stories. Jesus is always kind of redirecting. Yeah, I did that for you so you would understand who I am. And that's the piece that a lot of us miss. In the whole process of I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to, you know, follow this roadmap because I need something healed in my life. That's not a bad thing, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is following Jesus. Why? Because he is the God of all creation. He is the one who has set your heart in motion from before you were in your mother's womb. He is the one who has had your life and your destiny planned out before you were ever even thought of. He is the God of the universe who paid the price of sin and death so that you would have life. Jesus has the authority. It's who he is. We need to have complete confidence in Jesus, not just what Jesus can do for us. Do you see the difference? A couple other times this came up when he was healing a paralyzed man in Matthew 9. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Also thinking about when he healed on the Sabbath, he talked about the authority of being able to heal. Like, I'm not bound to the rules of the Sabbath. Do you know who I am? I will heal whenever I want to heal. Sabbath was created for you, not kind of the other way around. On the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had finished saying these things to the, and the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had what? Authority. And not as teachers of the law. So here's where I'd like to kind of bring this home. Spiritual formation is about submitting to the one who has authority. And that goes against like our instincts, especially as 21st century Westerners. Like, we just want to submit to authority. That does not sound, that's not the message I wanted to hear today. But that is the secret to allowing the healing in your life to happen. That's the secret to downloading the directions from God and following your life's path of faith. That's the secret to growing your confidence in God, growing your faith. One of the images that has been used over the centuries is that of a tree that bears fruit. You ever go to an apple orchard and see the trees? The trees are wild. There's this, every year when we go to Vermont, we see lots of apple trees, and they've been pruned in such a way that they're all like kind of twisted and they're different shapes. Why? So that you could get the maximum amount of fruit production. This is also like what spiritual formation is. We allow God to prune us, which sometimes hurts. Listen, if you're the tree, I can't imagine having part of you lopped off is fun. But the goal is that it will produce more and more fruit. Now, fruit is beneficial for the tree, but it's also beneficial for those who consume the fruit. God wants to grow you in such a way that you're not only growing closer to God and bearing more fruit, but the byproduct of that fruit is nourishing others. This is spiritual formation. What kind of fruit? Well, just open up Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit God wants to grow in you through the process of spiritual formation. So let's go back now and just overview the five things. And then each week we're going to talk about the five things and how you maybe can allow God to leverage those things in your life. Basically, the concept of this is that if you ever listen to someone's faith story, you'll hear them mention one of these five things or more, you know, more than one of these five things about how God brought them to faith. And these seem to be commonalities. There may be more, but let's just think of it as five ways that God can grow you. The first is practical teaching. That's hopefully what you are getting here on Sunday morning. Hopefully what you're getting in small group experiences and Bible studies, you are getting practical teaching. Because if you can't find a way to land the Word of God into your everyday life, it's going to be really, really hard to grow. So if you feel like, if you ever feel like you're not getting that here, you have my permission, please go find a church where you're getting it. Because that is hugely important. Hugely important. The second thing is providential relationships. This is, you need to be in a community so that God can speak through other people into your life. This is why church is so important. That's why, you know, you could watch preachers online, and that's great to get content and maybe practical teaching. But it's not helping you with those providential relationships. You need to be in community with other Christians in order for that to happen. The third is private disciplines. And that's kind of like spiritual disciplines, like prayer and Bible study and fasting and worship and service. The private disciplines that we cultivate, God uses that to grow our faith. The fourth are pivotal circumstances. Now, both providential relationships and pivotal circumstances, we can't control, right? I can't control when my pivotal circumstance is going to happen. But if I'm paying attention, God can use that circumstance and leverage it to grow me in my faith. It could also work the other way. Many of you know or have experienced where something bad happened and you walked away from God. God could also use that to grow your faith. And then fifth is personal ministry. Okay, as I'm going on this journey of God, as I'm bearing fruit, as I'm being formed spiritually, how am I sharing that fruit with others? Where is my place to serve and to share that with the world? Those are the five things. And each week we're going to talk about those five things and how we can move forward. And I hope it's helpful to you. As we go into this 2019 year, what will your life look like if you have more confidence in God? And what might be a first step?